Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of the business, just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., amen? And we are here as an interactive Bible study. And what is that? For those of you who are new at listening to this broadcast, that gives you the opportunity to call in and participate. We are body of Christ, and we come together just to share the Word of God and strengthen each other. So we interact with one another. We grow from one another. Amen. We are going to move forward. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move all the way over into the Word as it has been written. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for another day. We don't take it for granted. And as we come together, Heavenly Father, to feed on your word, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would learn from your word, that we would gain understanding from your word, and that we would grow from your word. We pray for the sick and afflicted, Father. We pray for those in the nursing home. We pray for Stuart Hawthorne. Father, we also pray for the Dickerson family in Alabama. We pray, Father, for Pastor Robinson, who's recovering. Lord, we pray for the Hobb family. Father, we pray for family in Maryland, Katrina, who's recovering. We pray for that household, Father. We pray for blessings within that household. We pray for healing within that household. And then I thank you, Heavenly Father, for other family members who listen. Sean, we pray, Heavenly Father, for spiritual growth. We pray for his brother. We pray for his sisters. We pray for his mother, Diane. And Lord, Father, you know all those that are standing in the need of prayer. Father, we also pray, Heavenly Father, for our brother Norman. We pray for the passing of his brother's ex-wife. Lord, there are so many that we can pray for. You know who they are, and you know what they're in need of. And Father, we just lay it at your feet. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just do what you do best. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The topic this evening is the process of a renewed mind. And we will be coming from, give you an opportunity, we'll be coming from 1 Corinthians in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians. Verse 17. Through 32. I'm sorry, that's at Corinthians. That's what I had originally started. It would be Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. My apology. That's what I started off for that. And I changed up. It's Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. If you heard me stuttering, that's why I was stuttering, trying to make sure that I was giving you the correct information. As we move forward, I have a poem that I'd like to share with you from Langston Hughes, and it talks about our struggles and not forgetting about family. Not forgetting about family. And I'd like to dedicate this to my cousin James Hobbs, who we talked about it today, and it just laid it on my heart, and I would like to pass it on to you, and I know you've heard it. Langston Hughes, mother to son. Well, son, I tell you, for me ain't been no Christmas there. It had tacks in it, and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time I've been climbing on, and reaching landings, and turning corners, and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you sit down on the steps, cause you find it kind of hard. Don't you fail now, for I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing, and life from me ain't been no crystal stair. Lights and Hughes, Mother to Son, from the collected poems in 1994. Somebody would probably ask, why am I reading that? And it kind of reminded me of the challenges that we go through as believers, as Christians. And sometimes we think that our Christian journey, our Christian walk, is going to be an easy journey. And when I read that, it kind of tied in to what I wanted to talk about this evening. Now, for those of you who are listening by internet, you can call in if you would like to participate. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you can connect with everyone that's on and participate in this discussion. And we also like to let you know that everything has been that aired can be recorded. You can go back into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio, and then you would type in, we can begin again, and you can pull up any of the archives of anyone who has spoken on this broadcast. Amen? Share it with a friend. Amen. Again, as we move forward, Ephesians 4:17-32, I'm going to be stopping and I'm going to be opening up the mics for dialogue so that we can grow one from another. As we move forward, please, I'd like to remind you to mute your mics, mute your phones or whatever you're on, mute them, because we can hear everything in the background. And so when it's being recorded, when things are being recorded, you can hear whatever you're saying or whatever you're doing in the background. Amen? So when someone's listening, we don't want a distraction as God is speaking to them. The title to this is The Process of a Renewed Mind. The Process of a Renewed Mind. And the verse reads as such. This therefore I say and testify in the Lord, that ye no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God by the ignorance that is in them, through the hardness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves up to mischievousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not learned, you have not learned of Christ, seeing ye have heard him, and being taught by him as the truth in Jesus, to put off with respect to the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, but to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, as we move through this, Paul is talking, he urges the reader to fall back into a certain pattern of thinking. He urges the readers to fall back into a pattern of thinking. And not only how one may think, but also a behavior. And when he wrote this epistle, it was talking about not falling or living by the behaviors of the Gentiles. Living by the former Gentiles. Not falling into their way of life. And their way of life, he's saying, is painted in dark colors. It's painted in dark colors. Now, when we look at that, when we look in terms of the Gentiles, what is he talking about? During this time, everything was going on. In actuality, there was no faith in Christ. They did anything and everything that they wanted to do. Those who were not believers, the Gentiles who did not follow Christ, they had a lifestyle and they had patterns that was corrupt. Corrupt living. Corrupt behaviors. And what he's saying here to the early Christians is talking about their way of life. It's an old way of life, and what he's trying to introduce is a new way of life, a new pattern of thinking, a new pattern of behavior. And that's what he says here. Therefore, I say and testify in the Lord that ye no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Don't follow their behavior. Don't follow their pattern, because that's what they do. Okay, I can hear something in the background for music. Thank you. And he goes on and says, in the vanity of your mind. In the vanity of the mind. In your vanity, in the way that you are thinking, your thinking habits, your pattern of thinking. Because, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinking, so is he. So he's saying that to change the way of thinking. Change your way of thinking. And then he goes on in 18, it says, he talks about the admonition, and he's really urging the readers or the listeners how important and how urgent it is that they change these patterns and behaviors. Because he's saying that what they're doing is everything that they're thinking and everything that they're doing is a pattern that is reflected by dark color. Now, when we think about darkness, when we think about darkness, that's not of God. Because when we think about God, it is light. It is a light. So when we think about darkness, we're thinking about everything that is the opposite of what God says, or how God says that we, as the believers, should live. Having understanding darkens. Being alienated from the life of God by the ignorance that is in them through the hardness of their hearts. Having understanding darkened. We understand, when you understand what God wants of you and what God is asking for us to do, we understand it, but yet we choose to block it out. We choose to pretend that we don't know. Darkened out, alienated from the life of God. Being alienated. Alienated. Alienated is separated. The word alienated means separated. When one is alienated, that is not saying that they are a part of God. Now, you know me, I always like to make sure that I have participation from you so that we can hear what you are saying as we move further into the scripture. So I'm going to open up the mic at this time. I'm going to open up the mic at this time. And we are going to just kind of digest. Now, we talked about, for those of you that just came on, we talked about we're in 17 and 18, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. I'm sorry, 17 through 23. This, therefore, I say and testify in the Lord. Testifying, talking about a divine word. Testify in the Lord a divine word that ye, or let me say, you no longer walk
as the rest of the Gentiles. Let me change that. That you no longer walk as the rest of the world walk. Let's bring it up today. He's talking to the early Christians that ye no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now we bring it to present. That you, your name, you said that you no longer walk as the rest of the world walk. In vanity. In the vanity of your mind. Vanity is pride. That's how the pride, excessive pride in how you speak and how one acts. In the vanity of your mind, being prideful in your mind. And he's saying that you no longer walk as the rest of the world. Get rid of that pride in your mind. Get rid of those prideful ways of thinking. Get rid of those prideful ways of acting. Get rid of it. It's what he's saying to the early Christians. And then he goes on, 18, having the understanding darkened, meaning that you know your past. You know your past, but yet you choose not to follow that path. You know, it's when someone says, you know, they know what they're supposed to do, or their kids say they know what they're supposed to do, and they say, I didn't understand. I didn't know. And you know darn well they knew exactly what they were supposed to have been doing. Darkened out, meaning that you understand it, but you just miss it in your mind. He's telling the early Christians that you know this is what the Gentiles are doing. Don't follow their path. Don't follow the corrupt behavior. Don't follow them. Don't allow your path to be darkened to the point where you don't know what direction to go. All you're doing is just doing for the sake of doing, because that's what everybody else does. That's what everybody else does. So I'm going to do just that to fit in. So that your understanding is not being alienated from the life of God. Separating yourself from what the Word of God says, who you are, what you're supposed to be doing. Your walk, your talk, alienating yourself. It's almost like you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you ignore it. One ignores it. There, they was ignoring. The early Christians was ignoring it. They was ignoring it. They were trying to be just like the other Gentiles who chose not to follow the Word of God, who chose not to be obedient to God. And he's urging them, don't follow that path. Follow that path. He's urging us, don't follow that path. Don't follow the path of the world. Because what it looks like in the world is not what God says it looks like. Because what we may be looking at, whatever situation we may be going through, and we're choosing, well, you know what, I might as well give up. I might as well give up. It ain't working for me, so I might as well just give up. I might as well act like the rest of the world. I might as well do what the rest of the world do. It ain't working for me. And what he's saying here is don't have that pattern of thinking. Don't think like that. You don't have to think like that. You don't have to think like the rest of the world. Be like the rest of the world. Why? Because we are different. That's why they call us peculiar. Peculiar is someone that's not like everyone else. Different. Different. And here he's saying, being alienated from the life of God. Being alienated. Don't alienate yourself from the Word of God. Don't alienate yourself from the obedience of what God would have you to do and be. Don't alienate that. Don't turn your back on God. And that's what he's telling them in the early Christians. Don't turn your back on God. Because when you turn your back on God, he's saying that what happens is eventually one begins to harden their heart. What does that mean by harden their hearts? At one time, our heart was sensitive and obedient to Christ. And then after we do something so much, we began to become so corrupted after a while, we don't want to hear what's good. We don't want to hear what's pleasing. We don't want to do what's right. Our heart hardens from what the Word of God says. Harden. Harden hearts. Tell them, Gentiles, make sure that you're having the understanding of darkened, that your understanding is not darkened. Don't be alienated from the life of God by ignoring it. Don't ignore him. Because if you ignore him, then you will find that your heart becomes hardened. Hallelujah. Mics are open. Any comments?
Yes. I think spiritual growth and the way we were in the past, where we were last year or the year before that, before we came to God, we have to maintain a sense of obedience towards God's word. People are watching what we do, the things we say, our actions, and we're spreading the gospel. But we're supposed to maintain a sense of continuity that's going to lead to growth, the growth of others, but especially our own individual growth, the growth of our families, our friends. Spirituality of righteousness. And we all fall down and we deal with situations, and some of them are maybe financially, they may be health issues that we have no control over. But anyway, we have to, and some people just simply give up. But anyway, we have God who is watching out for us. As long as we walk in his light, we'll be fine. In the most critical and dark situation, we don't want to be separated from the Spirit of God. So we have to know his words, and we have to put it into practice. And I would call that spiritual exercise and spiritual food. We have to take that in, really take it in, not play with it, not throw it in the trash, not make a joke out of it, take it serious. This is truly God's word and his plan for us.
Amen. Any comments? Any other comments? Mic's open. Any other comments? Amen. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate that. So as we continue, you know, as the exhortation continues, you know, they say that you must, he's talking to the early Gentiles, he says you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And really he's talking about before they knew Christ, they were unconverted Gentiles. That was before they knew Christ. They were living in a Gentile environment, and that Gentile, they lived as unconverted pagans. They had not been converted. This is the group that he was talking to. And now he's asking them to abandon their lifestyle. abandoning their lifestyle. Abandon it. Man, my goodness. Isn't that where we are as a body of Christ? God asks, is requiring you and I to abandon our practices that's not Christ-like, giving up some things that we may enjoy just so that we can live a Christian life. Abandon the lifestyle.
Or perhaps choose a new lifestyle, God's lifestyle, and you find enjoyment and enrichment in that. The things we found to be pleasant and joyful, which were simple, by following God's direction, we find the things to be more pleasurable, more multitude and multiply and reward, like Job, for example. Lost everything, but anyway, regained everything 10 times. There's a sense of joy that he actually picked up by not cursing God and not being frustrated, but just follow, you know, God's word. We're faced with challenges on the job, with challenges with illness, money, as I said before. But anyway, we have to maintain a sense of focus and a sense of growth. And keep in mind, we're a beacon of light that, you know, that non-believers can look at, who are blind and can't see. But anyway, your mere presence gives them sight. So they're able to move in the direction of God. But you have to have that within yourself. It's something you have to practice and not stay in a comfort zone of money and think of things that are unchristian-like.
Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Any more comments? Mic's open.
I like what you said about abandon this lifestyle. So we're abandoning the lifestyle of the unsaved, and we're supposed to change our mindset. The notes that I made is that that this section is telling us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, to live a life for Christ, and that we change our mind and no longer do the things that we used to do because we are renewed, as your title says. And in that renewing, we're supposed to put away the things that are of the enemy and the things that are of the world. So one of the pieces that I kind of highlighted in the word that we read from in the scriptures is that we to put away lying and deceitfulness and to be honest, to be in control at all times, to watch your timing, to live an appointed time, so you seek the Lord for when you are to do or to say things, to be graceful, to be tactful, to be clean in your thoughts, clean in your actions, clean in your deeds, clean and clean in the natural. That we are to be private, that everybody, that you don't have to tell everybody everything, that your communication is, that we should be careful who we talk to. And this is like a biblical blueprint for how to live your life. How to live your life, how to turn your life over to Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Any more comments? We are an interactive Bible study, and we like to keep the mics open for dialogue. Any comments? Amen. As we continue to looking on again, as we're looking on with 18, amen, we're talking about, and I'm still talking about
darkened in understanding. And I want to stress that when he's talking here, Paul is talking about that when someone's mind is darkened, that means that it's distorted. And it means that they have fallen prey to folly. Fallen prey to folly. And that does not bring a lasting satisfaction. And he's saying that the lasting satisfaction that we receive can only be through Christ. But when the mind is darkened, that means there's an emptiness. An emptiness. It's empty. And it goes on and it talks about, you know, how the mind can be perceptive and separated from what God and how God wants that person to think. Thinking has become darkened. That means that one with his dark, think about it, when we're in the dark, that means that we can't see. We can't see. Put me in the dark and I could be in the house that I've walked in for all my life. But put me in the dark and I find myself walking around feeling for things to make sure that I don't run or walk into anything because I can't see. And here's the same analogy that he's using here talking about the Gentiles and their pagan existence. They have been affected drastically. Ignorance. He talks about their ignorance. That they were blind to the truth. They were alienated from God. And because they were alienated, that led to ignorance with him. There must be an understanding with a relationship. God wants a relationship. And through relationship, there's understanding. There's understanding. And here he's saying that there is no understanding. When he uses the term ignorance, there's no understanding. They can't go. One who is ignorant from the truth, one who is thinking is darkened, that means that they can't grasp the truth. They can't grasp it. They can't understand it. When the thinking has been darkened, it's almost like the understanding is gone. It's gone. God is saying for the person to do one thing and they don't understand it. They're not grasping it, so they continue to fall prey to folly. They continue to fall prey. And Paul is trying to change their thinking. If you look in Romans 1:21, he talks about foolish hearts were darkened. Foolish hearts were darkened. And in Ephesians, he's talking about how he's exhorting how one's responsibility to God has been abandoned. One's responsibility to God has been abandoned. They were in a state of alienation. A state of alienation. Failure to be grateful. If one is in the dark, during that time, they weren't grateful for God or to God. They weren't grateful. And this is what he was trying to get over to them, to change their thinking, change their pattern of behavior. Change their lifestyle. During that time, they were choosing to give themselves over to whatever was impure. Any kind of impurity, that was it. That was it. They lost self-respect. They lost the right to feel what others were feeling. They lost the right to decency. There was no decency. They did everything and anything that they wanted to do. Led a pagan life. Continual lust. Continual lust. And then, more lust. That was the pagan way of life. That was the pagan way of life. And what he was trying to do was change, get them to become transformed to a new life, a new way of thinking, a new behavior. Let's move on to 19.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Hello. All right, it's me, cuz. Yesterday.
Speak up a little louder,
we were
please.
Talking.
No, speak up a little louder.
It's me, Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, yesterday when we talked on the phone, right, and you asked me if I talked to Mom and lately, and I told you no, not as of late because, you know, and then I told you she didn't really want to talk to me because when we start talking about scripture, we tend to argue, and she says that I think that I know everything. And then I was talking about how she likes to watch certain preachers on TV, and we talked about, you know, because I don't believe the preachers that she watches. I think they're false prophets, right? So you were talking about Paul was trying to change their minds, trying to, the renewing of the mind, and people falling prey to folly. If my mom's been a Christian all her life, you know that. But if she is feeding her mind the teachings of a false prophet, can't that cause her to fall prey to folly? So if she continues to listen in on that, even if when she starts out she's getting something from it, she may be getting something from it, but if she continues in that, she could be subject to falling prey to folly, right? So I am going to
this is from my cousin from out of Maryland, Sean, and because we have so many others online, I'm going to open up the mics to allow them to answer that. Being that you and I communicate, you know, we want to hear some other thoughts on that.
Okay.
Amen. So the mics are open.
Amen.
You heard the conversation. This is a Bible interactive Bible. Amen.
I would like to ask you a comment on this. It's kind of hard to understand what someone is taking in, or like pastors have different means of spreading the word, doing sermons, and that's a necessity for us to get together in groups. actually go to church or have Bible studies like we're doing right now and broaden that knowledge, that information that is being taken in. Maybe taken in one way, which may have some merit, but anyway, it needs to be broadened out. And so anyway, by you having that conversation, that was an opportunity for you to grow, but also for her to grow. And so anyway, that may be an opportunity for you and your mom to sit down together, maybe some other relatives, other friends, to do the same thing and dissect and interpret what the word, what the Lord is actually telling us. I met a guy Sunday who was blind, and he did a testimonial at a church, and he said, I wasn't always blind, but he said, you know, because of disobedience, I lost my eyesight, and repeated disobedience. And what's to be is to be. But anyway, he just basically gave up on everything and just kind of felt he should end it. And there's some spiritual growth that occurred. And he says now he's able to see things blind that he couldn't see before. And he sees more than some of the people actually here in the congregation can see who are actually sighted. But anyway, we all have to put ourselves in a situation where we can learn. Nobody, when we speak of ignorance and we speak of understanding, that very well could be the situation as well. But anyway, maybe we have to light a candle so that we can see on the same level. The whole room gets lit, and we see the whole picture. Maybe she's picking up half of that 25%, maybe usually you're seeing 60%. But anyway, we want to see 100%. So you got to come together, and maybe a third party needs to be present as well. That's kind of my take on that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that helps or not.
Any more comments? Any more comments would like to address that? He's addressing that his mother is, they communicate, and he feels that when she's listening to other preachers on TV, that they're false prophets. And what he's saying is that she, by listening to them, is she falling to folly? So I'm throwing that question out there to you to report to you to respond to him.
Okay. May I share?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, please.
Okay. What I want to say is that all televangelists are not false prophets, but then and all false prophets are not televangelists. So you may find somebody at the mega church or the corner store church that's a false prophet or preaching on the street, and the same could be on TV. And then you might find those that are preaching the word and have a true heart and bringing God's word on television at the mega church and at the, you know, the neighborhood church. So what we have to do is pray. And so you have to have, number one, a discerning spirit for whatever word that you read or that comes into your, you know, because we have all of these different authors that are writing their take on Jesus, their take on God's word, their take on Christian living. And even with our Bible study, it's about praying and using discernment to decide what part of the word or whether or all of it or what we're supposed to receive. The other piece is that you can read the same scripture, study the same chapters over and over and over again, and each time you study them, you receive something new. So the Holy Spirit gives you another nugget as you go through the scripture. So just because you read the scripture once doesn't mean that you understand the scripture. Here, the other piece is that if it's your mother, God's word tells us to honor thy mother and father that the days would be long. It's not your place to argue with her. If she doesn't receive what you're saying, you pray about it. And then you even pray that are you supposed to say that? Are you supposed to do that? Or maybe it's for someone else to lead her. If she's not able to get out to church, if she's not studying the word on her own or using other resources too, that may be her only choice. I call it bedside Baptist when you stay home or can't get out and you watch the television. I hear a lot of noise on the phone. There's a lot of screeching and scratching. I call it bedside Baptist when you have to stay home and watch TV or watch the word on television or listen to it on the radio. But if that's the only way that you're getting fed, it's a good way to be fed. What we should do, even as believers, as those that are seeking the will of God and seeking to be in God's word, is as we receive the different words from the different preachers and teachers and so forth, even from words, books that we read, we ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to help us to sort through it, because if it's something that God does not want me to have, I don't want to remember it. I don't want to place for it in my mind. If it's something that the Lord wants me to have, that I'm supposed to get something from, I want to be able to receive it and to understand it. John, there's a whole lot of screeching on the phone.
I don't hear anything.
A whole lot of screeching on the phone. I don't know if anybody else hears it, but so it's about praying. Now here's the other piece of it, that sometimes when we go up against people, like we have family that have become Catholic and family that are doing that have studied Jehovah's Witness, you know, they're Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. If we have some family that are just seeing that there is no God, we got a cousin that believes that I'm praying to the white man and stuff like that, because he's very Afrocentric and Muslim. And that's okay. If they're there, it's not my place to argue with them, and it's not my place to defend Jesus Christ. He does not need defending. But what I do is I pray for them. I have to approach them with love, that I love them regardless of who they are. They know where I am with the word. They know my heart. And I try to display that, not to tell them about Jesus, not to get over the head about Jesus Christ, but to live a life of Christ before them, to be that type of model and witness for them. But the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the work. The Holy Spirit will bring people into lives that will water the seeds that have been planted about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will convict them if there's a person who is giving a wrong word or lying. Okay, the Holy Spirit will do that. When the Holy Spirit does that, when the Holy Spirit makes conviction for them, for you to do it, because someone, a loved one, does it, will dig their heels in, and I'm going to do it just because you said something about it. So if it's truly something that can lead her astray, pray about it, and the Holy Spirit will do that. And it may be something that the Lord will soften your heart to. So you never know. I would give it to prayer. Give it to prayer, because it's not your place. It's not your place. Your place is to plant seeds. Your place is to love and to honor. Thank you.
How you doing? It's Pastor Miles. May I share?
I don't agree with that.
Hello? Yes, sir. We can hear you. Pastor Miles, how you doing, my brother? God bless all. I just wanted to share something with my brother who had the issue. One thing that I had been through is the same thing as yourself. You might want to take a look at Acts, the 17th chapter, and start at verse 10 and 11. If you do feel that they are false prophets, what you have to do is you have to do what the people in the church of Berea did, what they did in Berea. What they did was they searched the word diligently to see if what they were saying, the preachers were saying, was thus and so. So if you do have that concern that one is beloved, one is receiving message of false prophet, you must do your homework and your due diligence. As Sister said, you got to pray. You got to be Holy Spirit led, but you have to back it up with the word. The word is water. Excuse me?
Excuse me. I've done the research on the pastor, so
okay.
I'm pretty sure they are false prophets.
Okay. Well, if you have done, okay. Well, if you have done your research, continue to study, continue to show yourself approved unto God, then the only thing you can do is proclaim that word and plant the seed. You proclaim the word, you plant the seed, let the Holy Spirit, God, water, and give the increase. At that stage, that's really all that you can do.
Right. I agree with that. Thank you.
That's what I want to share with you. And the word is true. You don't have to defend it. All you have to do is proclaim it. And I'm telling you from personal standpoint, because I used to defend it. God don't need defending. He just needs you to proclaim it. Plant the seed. He'll take care of the rest. God bless.
Thank you.
And also, I'd like to reiterate the importance of planting seeds. You can be completely right and then be turn out to be completely wrong in this respect, that if you're trying to, for example, we're all teachers, but in order to be a good teacher, you have to be a good student. That means you have to listen as well. And we're planting seeds, and everybody, and someone else is going to come along and maybe put some water down, and someone accidentally kick some dirt around and on the seeds. And but it may be something you may not actually see actually come to fully bloom, but it does come about. But anyway, our job is to plant those seeds and to make a difference, and also to learn as well. Nobody has all the answers except for God, and His word is so profound. We need to come together as Christians and help each other.
I agree. Amen.
And another thing too is one of the greatest commandments is our love. So we have to be careful not to be in judgment of what we deem to be out of God's. And be careful not to judge people based on what we deem it to be a variation of, I guess, what a God's saying. You know, God may be speaking them in a different way, but it's the same message, you know? But love is the key word.
Amen.
Sean, was that helpful with his comments?
Very helpful. Very helpful.
Okay, good. We have a short time on here. After the time is up, it will not be recorded. But as we move on in Ephesians, we are continuing with Ephesians, and we're going to go into the last couple of verses. Seeing you have heard him and been taught by him, and you put off the respect of the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, but to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what here Paul is talking, he's telling the Christians to do is putting off that old, the old way of living, and that's that physical, the physical side, and he's talking about the renewing of the mind. Getting rid of the formal conversation, getting rid of that old, the old things that you do or that you was or they were doing at that time. And during that time, there was deceitful behavior, deceitful desires, there was corruption, there was immorality, there was impure thoughts throughout the whole, the Gentile cycle, and he was saying to get rid of that old and put on the new. And in order to put on the new, that it has to be a transformation. It's an inner transformation. It has to be something that's done internally. To have a new way of thinking, that's internal, and how we see things. And God wants a relationship with the believers. But in order to have a relationship, we have to have
a renewed mind. We cannot come to God with our old ways, with our corrupt ways. We cannot do that. In order to come before God, there has to be a transformation. And the transformation has to be with the renewing of one's mind. Amen. Any comments? Any comments?
I greatly enjoyed today's Bible study, and very profound words were shared. And thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Sean, I want to thank you for bringing that question out for those who are online, because that's what this is all about, asking questions, whether you agreed or whether you did not agree, but it's all about dialoguing and hearing from someone else's perspective. You know what I'm saying? Hearing from someone else's perspective. And that's what this is all about. We learn and we grow from each other. No one comes on who knows it all. Because as was spoken before, when you read the word one time, I guarantee you, if you do a journal, when you write a scripture down that first day and then go back a month later and look at that scripture, you have a whole total different meaning of that scripture.
Yeah.
And that's how we grow in Christ. We learn. We gain more understanding. So the closer that we have a relationship with Christ, the more that we grow in our journey and our walk. Amen? Any comments before we close? Any comments? Again, I do thank those of you that came on to share with my brother. I do thank you for that, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. We'd like to let you know that anything that we have that has been shared over the blog radio, you can go into the archives and the blog talk radio and then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up any of the archives. I think there's over 200 archives that you can pull up, any of the speakers from any of the states. Amen. If there's something that you want to share with a friend, it's a good way of being able to share a testimony with them, you know, and even talking about how they understood it. You know, that can be a good conversational piece in terms of witnessing, evangelizing to others, because that's really what this is all about. That's what our growth is about, evangelizing, sharing with others so that they grow as we grow. Amen? Because when God comes back, and he is coming back, we want to make sure that we have our houses in order. We thank you once again. We love you, but God loves you most. Until next week, God bless you.
Can look beyond the sky. Jesus.